Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay. The play-in tournament is done.
Yes, sir.
And I think it's here to stay based on the viewership that the numbers were reported from Nielsen that it was a major success.
Yeah, because this is what I tell you. I ain't see nobody sitting out when no what they call that when they sit out on purpose.
Oh, load management. Phew, load management.
It was like I got a chance to get in the tournament.
Yeah.
I might as well play. And let the chips fall where they may. That's what I saw, and I'm glad people didn't tank.
No, well, the purpose of this is to take that out of the equation for that number one pick or lottery pick, however you want to see it. And yeah, because it forced the Lakers, I think Davis wound up with 42 minutes, and LeBron was shortly, you know, right behind him at around 39. And you know, under normal conditions, they wouldn't have played those many minutes. But now it's a win or go home.
Yeah, but then look on this end, they playing a number two seed, right?
Yeah.
And Phoenix with a savvy point guard in Chris Paul and a young team with a nucleus of guys that's 22.
Yes.
So you got this old man at 36, 37, pushing the point with a defensive-minded coach and Monty Williams with offensive firepower in these young dogs.
Right. So it's going to be a good series.
Yeah. So then you got LeBron, them, the older, the statesman that's battle-tested, that's almost in a year-round season for them because they ain't had that much longer of a break, but they snuck in their little old management. You know, they did.
Oh, yeah. They got some time off, you know.
They did what they did. I respect that, right?
Right.
But then you look at a team like Memphis. Oh, we got a play-in game. Some young guys that's not too far removed from high school.
Oh.
Young, hungry, thirsty. You got the Tillman that's been in the Final Four that put out Duke. That won a Big Ten championship. Season was shortened because of COVID.
Yeah.
Rookie. You got the guy from Duke.
Bridges.
You got these guys that's like, look, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And they going against the number one seed in
Utah
without the best player that plays like D Wade.
Yeah.
And they beat them by 9 and they look like they're a better team.
Yeah. I'm telling you, they thought they could win that game without Mitchell. They really did. You know, because now he's ready, you know, he's ready to play in the second game, but he was upset because he thought he was ready to go in the first. But medical staff said, no, we need one more sit out.
Yes, sir.
But I truly believed they thought they could save him for this first round series and wouldn't need him against the Grizzlies.
That hurt them because now.
They stole a game. And now it's the even, you know, because you got three games in Memphis and three games in.
Yeah, Utah. So then when you look at it, I look at Ja Morant. Ja Morant is a crossbreed of Allen Iverson, Kevin Johnson, and Kenny Anderson. Jump shot, sometime. But if you catch
mid-range.
Him in the butter.
Yeah.
Right? But if you catch him in a streak where he's making that jump shot, you're going to have a long, long series.
Yep.
Because if he's making that jump shot at about 40%, it's over.
It's over, man.
Because by the time he gets in the free throw lane area, he can jump from there and dunk. And if he get one more dribble, his floater is so.
Oh, it's deadly.
His footwork game.
Deadly,
is,
man. They can't stop.
And then Brooks is like Dennis Rodman, his shooting guard.
Right.
They are fun to watch.
Yes.
They have about 8 guys, so you're going to have a bench to play against them.
Yeah.
They play defense, and it's fun basketball. And I just want to say this. I'm not lowering nobody's stock or anything, but I just think about Deontay Davis.
Oh, wow.
From Muskegon.
If he was still on that team.
Being with the other two guys from Michigan State. And I'm a Spartan, so I know how the Michigan State Spartans do when they come to front lines. A young front line with a Deontay Davis, almost a 7-footer in the middle, that they respect. Man, that could work. It's an amazing one. Because Xavier had a year with him, didn't he? Tillman had a freshman year with him or something like that? No, he didn't. He missed him.
Yeah. Didi was on there for a year, right? Yeah, he was behind because we played them in the high school
regional final.
Regional finals, we played them.
That was Mikey and Linwood. They beat them.
He was a junior that year.
Sure. Yes, he was.
He was a junior. Yeah. He came over from Northern.
That's right.
Forest Hills Northern.
Yep.
And transferred over to Christian. And then that's when we played him. And he was a, because they won it, didn't they?
Muskegon beat him.
Yeah, Muskegon beat him.
But then the next year, Grand Rapids got them that 20-0 team.
Yeah.
That Coach Guy had. I thought that team was better than Linwood. And them, but it's just sometimes the lid don't go on the rim.
Right.
Because they was a shooting team that year. Because Markell Jackson and LeSam, DeAndre Carter, he had Eddie Torrance. He had all those guys.
Oh, he had some shooters, man.
So that's that night, they couldn't make the shots. But they had Grand Rapids Christian's number. It's just, hey, they was the team. They were the team out of the region that year. That was 2 years in a row.
They were destined.
Yep. So you got Miami is losing to.
Don't look good. 2-0. They
down
2-0. Don't look good, baby.
I think Holiday making a difference.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Holiday ain't coming to play.
Yeah, yeah. So they'll get through this round.
Yes, sir.
And, I think it's going to all play out to the favorites in the East.
It's going to be Nets and Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, yeah. Sixers, I don't think going to make it.
No, they're not going to make it. They don't have enough to meet chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, Milwaukee. Everybody know who the man is.
Oh, yeah.
And they know he knows how to defer, too. So he like, look, I need y'all tonight to make these shots. They're going to be in the paint waiting on me.
Oh, yeah. They're going to build that wall.
Yeah.
It's going to be a wall down in there.
Yeah, but if they don't build that wall, you know he's going to come through power driving everybody. So so that team is balanced.
Yeah.
The Nets are balanced, but they don't play no defense. But they surprised the Celtics the other night.
Yeah, they did.
Celtics was running them. But you know,
that was
an OG conversation, you know, in the locker room. Hey, man, you know what we're here for.
Right.
Hey, man.
Put the hammer down.
Yeah, and they can't put the hammer down.
In the second half.
Yeah, so that's going to be an easy breeze for them.
Yeah, if Boston got a shot, they got to take game two. If they don't win game two, it's over. Series over. Simple as that.
And then you got Atlanta and New York. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, now that's going to be a fun series.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be real good.
Yeah, you know? Yep. And then the Lakers and Lakers got Phoenix, right? Yeah. Phoenix, yeah.
You got Washington, and you got Washington and Philadelphia.
Philly, okay, yeah.
That's not bad, but I don't think Washington has to have enough playing experience together.
Nope. Mm-mm. They win a game or two.
Yeah, they might steal a game, but you know Westbrook going to be – he's going to overdo it. I love watching him as a player, but it's hard being his teammate.
Once you get in his head, you know he'll take the game over, whether he's doing well or not. He'll still take it over, and it might be detrimental to your team.
That's right. Yeah. Speaking of detrimental, we're at the year anniversary of the brother
George Floyd.
That's right.
Yeah, George Floyd anniversary, man.
And this is a financial show. You're like, oh, Mr. Williams, Chauncey bringing up stuff that's bring a lot of trauma. But let's think about how the experience happened. It happened off a counterfeit $20
bill. $20
bill.
That was counterfeit.
So let me ask you this question. So it's a counterfeit, right? So I'm a police officer, right?
Yep.
So I get a phone call from a convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
911 call, whatever. It seemed like a 911 call to
That's
me.
That's what it was.
All right.
You could hear it on, they played that, yep.
So I'm a police officer, right? And I get this call on the scanner. We got somebody passing a counterfeit $20 bill at a convenience store. Mm-hmm. Send backup, whatever the message is.
Okay.
So as a police officer, you come in to do a police report, or you coming in with your guns out, billy club, what's the protocol when you get a call like that about a counterfeit $20 bill? Well, somebody you know that passed a 20 to you.
Right. So basically what it is, it's a report, okay? We report it to the U.S. Treasury Department. They do the investigation. We got the names of the individuals involved. There's no need to arrest them because you don't know how that, you know, 20 came across. And if you watch the video, he never even knew that it was a counterfeit 20. The guy came in the store and handed it to him. Like, you know, I've seen that happen 1,000 times in the store where a guy come in and get a guy $10, $20, whatever, to buy something for him. So I think they really overstepped their boundaries when it came to counterfeit money. And I don't think they were trained properly as to how to conduct the process when it is counterfeit, because that's not their job. There was, you know, it's a crime, but it's more of a civil crime, which is handled by the Treasury Department. They could easily came back and found him based on cameras in the store.
Yeah, they could.
So it was unfortunate that they felt it was up, you know, to them to really, you know, escalate this thing to the point where it caused this man to die over a counterfeit $20.
Yeah, we even see that here. Like when you hear in Muskegon, you got they had this newspaper called "You Got Busted," but now they do it like this. Like if you go into any convenience store in this area, and I see little Facebook videos of somebody taking some candy, somebody taking some cigarillos, some cig, a pack of cigarettes, or grabbing a bottle of liquor, they'll put them on camera, and they'll put shame on Facebook.
Okay, I've seen it.
The surveillance video. So like, I would rather have call the police on me because that's
get this over with.
That shame video. That ain't good for your character. Say, like, oh, no. That's all you took some cigarillos or a bottle of liquor, or you telling me that's what he doing? You know, somebody pairing on video or something. So I think that's a better alternative than calling the police on somebody.
It would, in my opinion, it would be, man.
The whole neighborhood know it. Oh, he's tight out here for him. He got to do that. He ain't no good. He ain't no good. Look at him. Oh, shame on him. I think that's a better result to get better results than calling the cops on people.
Yeah. And, you know, when you listen to the 911 call, they weren't even sure who it was, first of all. Thought it was him. They wasn't sure based on that phone call. And at that point, police confiscate the $20 bill, take it, turn it over to the U.S. Treasury. They come in now, they do their investigation with the film, you know, cameras, what have you, and they'll know who George Floyd is by the time they got through.
So that $20, I mean, somebody lost their life, but that $20 got somebody on GoFundMe page that raised them $20 million. Then they sued for $20
million. Yeah, I think it was, total was 27, I believe the final number was. The lawsuit.
Yeah, but then they say he had a GoFundMe page. They raised $20 million too.
Really? Okay. Wow. That's a lot of meat. That's a lot of paper, man.
So a lot of some of it probably with the Black Lives Matter or helping out with issues, but already helped his family out too.
Oh yeah, of course it did.
Because waiting for a whole year, because that money ain't gonna come. Should just show up to $27 million because you know police got immunity. They got insurance policies.
Yeah. Well, the Fraternal Order of Police, who basically paid for his defense.
They got insurance policies, right?
The city does. The city's going to have an insurance policy.
Okay.
And there's bills in Congress now to do away with that immunity for police officers in a lot of cases like that. So you're kind of seeing that move through the system so that officers are now being held accountable for their actions.
That's what the whole, because at first I didn't understand what they said, defund the police. That's part of defunding them.
That's the part of the defunding. Bottom line with defunding is that there's a whole lot of money involved in the police department.
Okay.
The defund me says that we need to divert some of that money that's going into the police department to other areas. Okay. But also we need to basically retrain officers on how to, you know, conduct themselves when they do get to a situation. And here in this country, they've always, you know, talked about the main crust is go home to your family at night as a police officer by any means necessary. That's for the most part.
But then, but look at the discrepancy there, Tony. It's an incident like happening every month or like every week at some police station.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard it on NPR today. There's only been, since George Floyd, there's been only like 2 or 3 days in this country where some kind of police killing didn't happen. Now, some of them were justified. I mean, just here in town, I read a few where, you know, up north, a guy had lunged at a cop with his, you know, and they shot and killed him. So every day when you think about the, you know, United States, every day almost there's a killing by a police officer, justified or not. And then the grand jury for the guy down in South Carolina, they said that was a justified killing where they had the warrant
for drugs.
And he was trying to get away. But again, that's not a done deal.
Using the car as a weapon.
Yeah, they claimed it was, but eyewitnesses said that he was driving away from them.
Okay. Oh, so he was getting away, but then they
shot him in the back of the head, but he's getting away.
But then they're going to throw in his record and his history.
Don't matter.
You know how that, and that's that immunity part.
Yeah, well, let him go, okay? We'll catch up with him eventually. Right, you're right, that's it. That's the immunity part about it.
Man, that's, I mean, we can get deeper and deeper on that subject, but you know, we got a lot of issues in our city that's going on right now, so I'm not going to stress those issues that's going on with our citizens and other things in that nature, but just keep prayers for our city at large, for our youth and young adults.
Yeah, we need to do that. Speaking of young adults, there's an article in the black newspaper, Black Enterprise, about a single mom who turned her $1,200 stimulus check into a seven-figure business after she got laid off. It's pretty interesting. I don't know if it's an internet type of a newspaper, but Black Enterprise always seems to have some very good articles about black folks that have kind of brought themselves up from the bottom and become successful. And this particular lady, they call her a millennial mom, Ellie Diope, took her $1,200 and started a coaching business, and basically was talking about how you coach people through finances, credit repair, preparing for job interviews.
That's right.
She had done all this stuff and realized that there were people that needed these kinds of skills. And it turned her $1,200 into a seven-figure business.
Man, she doing what I do. I need to get in touch with her for the next step. But sometimes that's how the blessings happen.
That's how it happened. She didn't go buy anything. She didn't blow it. She invested. And one of the things that she said was, you can either build someone else's dream your whole life or start to build your own. That's kind of her motto.
Yes, and I seen an Instagram or something somebody had did, and they said, you've done enough. It's time to start the business, right?
Yep.
So then here's the seven steps. It says, here are the seven top steps you should take right now. Form your LLC. Get your biz bank account, get your first biz credit trade line, create content on Instagram, post 3 to 5 times per day, drive traffic, make sales, make sure those sales are going to your business bank account, use business credit to scale up. You will be the first millionaire in your family. If you can do this, you can too. Start the business and build your biz credit ASAP. These are the exact steps I took. Sales exceeded, get the business credit for 150 bundle instead of 500. And she is exactly right. Those are the steps. I've done those same steps.
The steps, man.
I just ain't seen the million, but I've seen decent amounts of money where it can be a supplemental income.
Well, you're not done yet.
Yeah, I'm not done yet.
You're still building.
Yeah, I'm still building. You know? So I look at that, hear that, but these times are ripe for the picking audience to start something. It might not produce you six figures. But what about an extra $25,000 a year?
Right.
That's what I'm seeing. I mean, I've been in those spaces, and $25,000, not bad. It's not bad to have when you're trying to build something extra for your family. So think about that. You can go from $10,000, $25,000 to $100,000 with an idea that you was thinking about, and you were helping change somebody's life. And just by just giving advice, that's how I realized it, Tony. Like, once somebody asked me, another person asked me, I say, I got to start a business. Yeah. How do I do that? And these are the steps. And that's the stage in life that we're at where the information is already out there. But I noticed this one word right here. Procrastination is a big killer of those opportunities.
Oh, no doubt about it.
You could tell somebody how to do the plan, put it together. They won't follow through.
Nope. They'll get to it. They said, I'll get to it.
Because I hear from people that say, when I tell them stuff like this, they say they're busy or they don't have time. Or even when it's trying to readjust things and they like, they're like, oh man, I put that off. I gotta do that later. And I think I'm like, you called me.
Okay.
I'm not gonna do it for you. It's not a magic wand. It's not a snap. It's something that you gotta be thinking about every day, all day. So kudos to this young lady and just being in sync with everything and all the opportunities lining up at the right time. And
that's
what we wanna see for everybody. I want everybody to be successful. Hey, I'm waiting on my 6-figure year two on my business.
And you know, I don't think people get, you know, think that it has to be some kind of cutting edge technology.
No, I don't.
It can be something as simple as
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3, man.
Come on, man.
You know, I'm good at cutting lawns or whatever. I'm really good at that kind of job.
Yeah.
Well, if you used social media to help you know, boost that, you would be surprised at the number of people that would be willing to pay for you to come in, take care of their lawn at a reasonable price, be dependable, be punctual, and above all, be honest. There are people that would spend money for that service because they're busy doing other things.
Yep, it's the 10 times, and I'm giving Steve Harvey a shout out. It's the 10 times theory. So if you're good at something that you figured out that costs $10, figure out the whole process to get that one $10.
Okay.
And you're like, okay, this is what I do. This is what I say to people. This is what I'm going to deliver. And this is how fast I'm going to do it. So for me, it's 24 hours. I can give you a 24-hour turnaround where I can do a credit profile, give you a book, show, make the letters for you in a 24-hour turnaround. But it really take me an hour. So to me, I say that's $25 for that 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
So $25 an hour is not a bad wage.
Not a bad wage.
For somebody with an education. So I'll take that. So I'll say that one person, I help you for $25 for that 1 hour. So then I say to myself, okay, I want to help 10 people. That's $250.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I do that in a day? Do the same steps with 10 people.
10 people.
But it might be, some of the scenarios might be a little different. But that's $250 with those 10 people.
Okay.
Now those same 10 people tell 10 people. Now that his numbers are adding up and changing, and then it becomes this positive language, because if I did the process right with that one person, when they get to 100 that I did for the $25, they were like, oh, he do this and this and this. This is how you do it. This and this. Call him.
Call him. Yeah.
That process feeds itself, but it also spawns off into other opportunities where word of mouth goes out and say, this person really doing a great job for this nominal fee.
Yeah.
And I'm getting results.
Referrals.
I got to do some of the work, though. He's doing 25% of it, but I'm really learning, and I know that I don't have to get in this gym again. So that's my system and my incubator, but it really helps people become proficient. So I understand where she's coming from. We just have to get to the point where we make our lives, I wouldn't say profitable, but where we can monetize the things we do to help others. So
right.
Say, how much is your minute? What's your minute worth?
And yeah.
Somebody says, hey, I want to spend some time. I'm going to bounce some ideas off you, Chauncey. You're like, hey, you know what? Hey, I'm kind of busy right now, man. You want to pay for lunch or something or dinner? You want to pay my consultant fee for that hour? Let's do that.
Right.
You know, and you're not saying somebody's money hungry or anything.
No. My time is money.
That's right.
And I'm willing to help you. Okay. And a lot of times you'll take a case, what they call it in legal ramification, pro bono. Right.
That's right.
Okay. I'm not going to take any money now. But if you get involved in whatever endeavor you want, you use my advice, at some point in time, come back, take care of me, okay? That's all I'm saying. But no, there's a lot of times, and you do it as well as I do, we do give free advice. Some things you do for free in hopes of people understanding that it's somewhat of a blessing, favor, and you need to take that and run with it.
Exactly right. You're exactly right. And that's getting to the next thing, and that's credit. And just, that's important, giving your credit a boost. Because I will say this, herd immunity is coming, and they're trying to make sure the lights come back on June 1st, July 1st.
They hope so.
So what does that mean? People looking at their credit card, some people looking at their credit cards like, it's time to max them out. They ready. But don't do that.
Nope.
And some people saying, I got to travel. I got to get my passport. I got to buy these plane tickets. I got to get my credit right. Some people use the pandemic to get their credit right. So they got good balances and everything. So we got to stay on top of going in that direction when it comes to make sure we stabilizing our credit going forward. Because when the world opens back up, you're going to want to go to the movies. That's me. I'm ready to see the Marvel movies. I'm going to be there on Tuesdays. I'm ready for that. Some people going to want to go out to eat. Another thing for me, symphonies and concerts.
Yeah.
I mean, I like concerts. I love concerts.
Yeah.
I got to be out in those.
I like to go to plays, what have you, know. So I heard this morning that we're just about at 50% of the population that has been vaccinated.
That's okay? Right. In America.
In America. According to the scientists, in order for the herd immunity concept to really be effective, you got to get to 70. So we're not where we need to be. But yet we are taking steps to open up the economy. And you and I have talked about this, that we're not comfortable yet treating this as the normal, right? We're not ready to start going into places without wearing a mask, not social distancing. There are those that have embraced this and are going 100%, 100 miles an hour.
My wife asked me today, she was on lunch break or something. She said, I'm in Myers right now. There's people walking around with their masks off. She's like, what should I do? I said, look, I live with you. When I go to Myers, I put my mask on.
Yes, sir. I don't care where I go. But if I get out of my car and if I'm not going to my house, I go anywhere, I got my mask on.
That's right. And if I'm 6 feet, all right, I might take it off if I'm 6 feet from somebody. Yeah. But other than that, I'm out here. Hey, that's what you doing, Chauncey? Let's kick it and hang out. Mm-mm. I told y'all.
Not ready yet.
When we get this 85%, you'll see me in the flesh.
Yeah.
Think about
50%, man. Think about what 50% means when they said that's the number that has been vaccinated.
That's like Shaq at the free throw line.
Okay? One out of two people don't have it.
Yeah. Okay? That's Shaq at the free throw line. Yeah. Oh, Shaq at the free throw line. No. My odds. Shaq make a free throw, you won't get COVID.
Right.
Oh, no.
He wouldn't eat 50%, so no. No, man. So I'm not ready. And I would
see Shaq with the ball right now and saying he got COVID in it. Like, if I miss it, you're going to get COVID.
Right.
If I make it, you don't. Like, Shaq, no, get close to the rim where you going to dunk it.
That's it, man.
I take those chances. But it's just other things, just, you know, checking your credit score, mending your credit score. So I'm just going over some brief topics. But just, for one thing, just always get into those free services. And some people say, oh, you got Credit Karma, you got Experian. Go to the free service first.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because you don't want, I always tell people, don't get a hard hit. Don't be trying to apply for everything. When you apply for everything, you get these hard inquiries on your credit report. And sometimes I run into clients that I see Tony 19 times.
Mm-hmm.
When they apply for credit or 10. And I tell people, I always recommend, in a calendar year, you don't want no more than 3 inquiries.
Okay.
In a calendar year.
Yeah, because that means if you have established credit, right, if you got credit cards, if you're using those cards and you're paying them off, there's no need for credit inquiries, right?
No, you don't need to apply for nothing else. So unless you're in a transition from a job, living situation, or purchasing a new automobile, or you're like, I got to get financing for this wedding or something, I don't know, but I wouldn't finance a wedding.
Extenuating circumstances, not your normal circumstances.
That's right. So then that's a red flag, audience, when you apply for credit more than 3 times in a year.
Yeah.
It's a red flag. I mean, somebody stole your identity. That's how I look at it.
That's what they're thinking, yeah.
Or you got bad credit, and you're searching for something.
You're searching for that good credit, for the interest rate, and you're not going to get it.
You're not going to get it. You're just going to get approved, and you'll get smacked upside the head.
20%.
That's how to tell people.
They can probably give you that without a credit inquiry.
Yep.
They give you 20%.
But it's conflicting views to me, Tony, where it's a lot of times it's all right. I got money, but I got a bad credit score. That's an equation for chaos. Because one day your money going to run out. And I'm telling you, credit is like integrity. So when you have a decent credit score, it balances you out where you don't have to be showing all your money. You can say, all right, I got this pile of money over here. But I got this good credit score. They're going to make me make this payment for 36 months. But I got this money over here. I don't have to make it for 36 months. I can make it for 20 months. Because I got this pile over here. And I got this job right here. And I'm going to work this job with this pile I got, then I'm gonna make that pile build up bigger and pay this off quicker.
Right.
And I'm good. That's what credit does.
Yeah, and that's kind of the intriguing phenomenon about Bitcoin.
Right now it's half. It's like 30-something thousand. And last time it was 60-something, like almost 2 weeks ago.
Right. So I think it's just almost like the tech bubble, right? You know, it had all this hoopla around it. So it drove the price up, and now it's settling back down. But the thing about cryptocurrency is none of these things really come into play when it comes to acquiring or spending crypto, right? The fear of it is there's a lot of dark money, ill-gotten money, is getting into the Bitcoin
ill-gotten
stream.
Games. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And it's almost like money laundering.
Like a spirit, like a negative spirit touching
I can
money.
Buy these Bitcoins with this money that we got off the streets, and I can turn around and spend that money basically anonymous, right? Because now if you ever go to the bank and you withdraw 10 grand, that's a record. You know, it has to be made a record of you spending or withdrawing 10 grand. Well, crypto is not that way. There's no regulations on, you know, how you acquire it or how you spend it. And I think that's the intriguing part about this currency that's driving people to look at it, because they can hide legally as well as illegal money in this Bitcoin industry.
So then, man, they talk about, my mom used to talk about the mark of the beast. Man, that's crazy.
Right. The mark of the beast.
Yeah, people say, you don't want to be doing business like that, the mark of the beast. And honestly, honest, I haven't touched Bitcoin. I have.
I have not either. There is one stock out there that is publicly traded Bitcoin. It's called Coinbase Global.
Yes.
Currently, the one stock, one share.
Nas and Kevin Durant.
That's what they're into?
They're touching Coinbase.
Okay. $241 a share.
They done made a lot of money, though.
Okay.
They done put $1 million into the piece.
And they
done tripled their money.
The 52-week low was $208. So if you had bought this a year ago, you basically have doubled your money, because the low was $208 and it's up to $241 now.
Okay.
So those are the ones that I would take a look at, even if I got into it.
I like this,
because it's on the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I trust. I trust the IPOs. I trust those. I can't trust something that I could just...
It can go away.
Yeah, it disappeared.
And, you know, there's so much, like I said, there's so much mystery in it.
Where the ticker at? That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Where the stock ticker?
Give me the ticker symbol. Because now I know the Securities and Exchange Commission is involved. They make everybody do their due diligence. There's no red herring. You don't have to worry about the Bernie Madoff treatment.
Yep.
So if you are intrigued about it and you want to get involved, I would say go the route of purchasing it through, actually it's NASDAQ, but there's no guarantees that it won't fail. But just the present track record shows that it has been profitable for those that have purchased it. And there are government regulations.
Yep. I want to say this. This is what I noticed. Debt and credit, Tony. When you think about investing in Bitcoin, Coinbase, Dogecoin, whatever, right? I noticed this. I've been on two sides of investing. I've been on the sides of investing when I had a lot of debt. And I've been on the side of investing when I didn't have debt.
Okay.
And now I'm on that end now that it's a lot more money that I have where I can set it and forget it.
Right.
Instead of worrying about a bill because I dealt with all my debt and made sure my credit was in a certain place, that, oh, okay, this couple of hundred over here, they just going to do that every month.
Because
mm-hmm. I don't have a bill eating me away and trying to save at the same time. Let's get all our debt down. So then when you get an investment plan, because debt does this. It does nothing but devour. Debt comes in and say, hey, remember this, the $300 you was investing, I need that now. It's debt.
Yeah.
Once you get rid of that debt and it disappear, you can be the master of your money and say that $300 is going over here and it's staying over here. And anything that debt that comes, I'm going to deal with it right now.
Yep.
And I'm going to keep on investing and saving, investing and saving. And that's the fun power of getting control of your credit.
Yeah, because you avoid it doesn't mean it's going away, right? Yeah, you can look the other way, try to avoid it, pretend it didn't happen. Nah, not good.
You can put your COVID mask on. That ain't me. No, they gonna know it's you. So that's our show today. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.